So we've been covering 30 verses in the Bible that embody the eagle. 26 in the Old, 4 in the New. We've covered the first 8, and these are chronological order. We did do 27 in the New Testament as it was related to one of them. So let's jump to our first verse. And it's right on time, 7:30, so it usually goes about a half hour. This one should be easy for the group. Proverbs 23, verses 4 and 5. Do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to cease. When your eyes light on it, it is gone. For suddenly it sprouts wings, flying like an eagle toward heaven. Another way that other scripture or other passages, other versions of the Bible read is like, do not overwork or wear yourself out to get rich. Be wise enough to restrain yourself. When you glance at wealth, it disappears. Do not trust your own cleverness. Cast but a glance at riches, and they are gone. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. For some updated information on how we are to live as Christians in today's world, we defer to the New Testament. We have 2 Corinthians 9 and 8, and Paul writes to us, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work." For example, working two jobs to keep up with the neighbors, or get ahead of them, or show off our wealth is not who we are to be. We have other interests in mind, and good work that needs to be done in the kingdom of the Lord. Colossians 3:23 says it simply, "Whatever you do, work heartily as if for the Lord and not for men." And Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 6:17, "As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on uncertainty of riches, but in God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life." Any further thoughts on this proverb? Yes, sir.
Well, it reminds me of Luke chapter 12, where the rich man said he would tear down his barns and build bigger barns where he could store, and then he said, "I'll have plenty." The problem with that is the people that are addicted to acquiring wealth, I mean, it's never enough.
Never enough.
And I think one of the things this is telling us is there's a place that you need to not set your mind on doing that. And we see that with some of these very rich men in the United States that have acquired such a tremendous wealth, but they're not doing what God told them to do with their wealth.
Yeah.
They're not sharing it like they should.
Yeah. So true.
You know, if we truly manage our life like God has set out, you know, he does bless the work of his people. when they are honest and upright, and when they devote themselves in the way that He has asked us to, when we devote ourselves to Him, you know, the blessings flow. In Malachi and in other places, it says, you know, give me what my tithe, give me what is owed me, the sacrifices that you give to me, let them be clean and whole like I've asked you. Don't give me the leftovers and the lame and the sick. And then He says, if you do that, I'll fill your barns. You know, and I know people that toil in a job, and then when they retire, they get two more jobs. I mean, why not keep the one you had? Anyway, be discerning enough to cease. Know when it's enough.
That's it.
Know when you should toil to give it away, to do good work with it.
Doing good works. That's exactly.
And it's so, you know, I know people that are afraid they're going to run out of money. Well, that's not the way God's people need to live. You know, I know people that made it through the Depression, and they fed strangers all the time with the little that they had. You know, and we hear how our parents lived through that. And, you know, it's like the woman that had just enough oil to do one cake. But yet when she gave it to the Lord's servant, she had oil for as long as he was there. I mean, that's how it works.
Great lessons.
And it's really hard to believe that and live that way. But there is reward.
In this day and age, it is. So much you can spend your money on. And so, well, I want this, I want that, I want the other.
John, comment, if you would, on the eagle, the image of the eagle flying toward heaven. What is the image that the person giving the proverb would like for us to see?
Well, that money can just fly away, can evaporate. I mean, the guy that builds his barns, fills them full, it gets on fire, they're gone. They're gone. Another one said, greed to be rich can be a shadow and a sham to those who trust in them. A Christian will not dote on shadows or riches are very uncertain things. And I think that's it. The eagle takes off and it's gone. I think that's the image there.
Yeah, there was a saying, the eagle flies tonight. You remember what that was? You remember what that meant?
The eagle flies tonight?
The eagle flies tonight, or the eagle flies today?
Payday.
Payday, yeah. Especially in the service, you know.
Payday.
Most of the service men were broke time a week before payday.
I knew a guy in Tennessee, Christian brother, a great Christian brother. He was very wealthy. When he was born, his father named him Payday. He was born because he was born on payday, and so we called him PD. But interesting. Okay. In this instance, the eagle is a symbol of money overly gained for wrong reasons can easily vanish. Just like that, and it's gone. Working to be rich should not be the object of our labors. Work to provide all things honest in the sight of God and all men. If you get wealth, do not forget the poor. Our lot here is focused on the Lord supplying our needs while we work and store up treasures in heaven. Thus, riches leave men in grief and vexation if they set their hearts on having too much. Let's go to our next verse, and hopefully you'll find this quite interesting. Proverbs, the 30th chapter, verses 18 and 19. And then later we're going to add 20 to that as well. Three things are too wonderful for me. Four I do not understand. The way of the eagle in the sky. The way of a serpent on a rock. The way of a ship on the high seas. And the way of a man with a virgin or a maiden. What is there to make of this passage? An account of four things that are unsearchable, too wonderful to be fully known. Well, the saying here is a riddle. Notice what these four things have in common, and why is the teacher amazed by them? In 19, the eagle, serpent, and ship leave no trail behind. The eagle in the air, which way it has flown, cannot be discovered either by the footprint or by the scent, as the way of a beast may be found on the ground. Nor can we account for the wonderful swiftness of her flight, how soon she has gone beyond our view. The serpent in the sand we may find by its track, but not a serpent upon the hard rock, nor can we describe how a serpent will, without feet, in a little time, creep to the top of a rock or a tree. A vessel of any size, it leaves a wake for only a short time, and then the water settles to show no trace. We must realize the kingdom nature is full of wonders, marvelous things which God of nature does. And yet we may be left wondering just how they happen. Now there is one more on the list of four. The way of a man with an unmarried virgin or maiden. Strong says about all these way connections here in these verses, it means a mode of action or a manner of something. So this last item here, any ideas what kind of a man we have here with this young virgin woman? Well, commentators suggest he is a seductive fornicator. Or should we give him the benefit of doubt? In this regard to the cursed arts in which a vile fornicator uses to debauch an unmarried girl or woman, or said another way, to persuade her to yield to his wicked and abominable lust. Perhaps it is a base sort of seduction that the writer seems to be saying he doesn't understand how it gets out of hand with two people who should be leaving chaste lives before their marriage. We drop down to the next verse, 30 and 20, has a way connection as well. This is the way of an adulterous woman. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I have done no wrong. Taking the words literally, what she says is true. Eating is no sin. But eating here is symbolic of her life of fornication or adultery. Wiping the mouth after eating suggests cleansing herself after illicit sex, a metaphor describing her casual immorality. She is of the opinion that after she has washed up, nothing remains of the sexual encounter, and in her mind, there are no moral ramifications to her behavior. But we know God sees everything and is making note of her actions. Need we say more? In this verse, in these two verses, everything apparently makes an effortless, even instinctive progress towards a goal. So these things happen, but the speaker, the writer, finds them amazing and doesn't understand quite how they happen. Any comments?
Some things are not easily seen or discerned. They're not obvious. Mm-hmm. But God knows.
Yeah. Absolutely. Before we head to our next verse, scripture is found in Isaiah. Allow me to provide a short background to set it up. I say that because now the rest of the Old Testament verses we will find are all in the prophets, except one is in Lamentations. Isaiah we recognize as a major prophet. His call to ministry came in the year of King Uzziah, when he died around 740 B.C. It was a short 8 years later that the Assyrian invasion came in 732, and then the first captivity began in 721. That's important because our single eagle verse we found in Isaiah comes addressed to the captives. With that, let's fly to our verse and see what it's saying here. But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We know the eagle, we should remember that what occurred in David when he went through difficult times, how he praised his overcoming and survival in difficulty, comparing it to the renewal of a molting eagle. And we talked about this last time, how that the eagle goes through a progressive thing where it actually goes and hides itself. It's a terrible time for the eagle. Its feathers drop out, new ones grow. It renews its beak, its talons. But then when it goes, gets everything going, it can't see. Its eyesight is diminished, and so it can't hunt properly. But once it gets its feathers back and everything's in order again, and it can take off and fly and hunt again. But David, we think, probably saw that. He was outdoors a lot in his life as a shepherd, and when he was being chased around the countryside with Saul after him. So he went through some terrible times, and when he wrote about it, this is what he said, that it's like a renewal of an eagle. It is as though the eagle has brought our attention to this chapter to remind us and clue us in on some of the important attributes of God as it relates to our faith. If you like to turn to chapter 40 of Isaiah, we're going to take a look at just a few verses prior to our subject verse, and I'll be reading those for us. These verses lead up to our subject verse in about overcoming heartaches, life's disappointments, weakened faith, and anxious thoughts of time escaping us. So, Isaiah is talking to one of the captives, and he says, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God?" God then has Isaiah responding by saying, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak and to those who have no might. He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Recently, we got a text of these verses from Paul on Monday. Anybody remember that? Should be familiar to us. Gotcha, brother. Again, this is addressed to the captives. God is true to his covenant, despite his people's unbelief and forgetting their heritage. While the despondent exiles could feel abandoned by God, it is the sovereign Creator who is the source of their strength. He will be the expected justice they long await for. In verse 29, it says, "The Lord is everlasting God, the Creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. More than that, he helps us who do." In 30, human strength at its best inevitably fails. Weak resolve and rough times can happen to any age. Only the promise of God who can sustain our human perseverance to overcome. In 31, waiting for the Lord, we know God has his patience with us, and we can be encouraged by that. And it should cause us to also be patient with the Lord. We should also have humble dependence on him. Our reward is renewal, a lifting up. As a result, those who depend on him for strength will stretch their wings as effortlessly as the eagle and glide on currents exemplified by the eagle's flight. While I was preparing this lesson several weeks ago, I took a lunch break, and I read some daily news online, as I'm wont to do, a lot less more recently anymore, but don't watch it on TV. Anyway, almost by fate, I came to an article regarding the Kansas City Chiefs. It was at that time the coach, Andy Reid, was explaining that a certain player would be missing perhaps months of the season due to an injury that would require surgery. At the end of the story, there was a quotation from the player regarding his sad injury and required surgery and time away from playing the game. The comments made by one Marquise Brown, known to us as Hollywood Brown, seem relative to our lesson as Christians. Allow me to read what he spoke. He says, "Disappointed, frustrated, and sad was the first wave of emotions once I realized I would need surgery. But that only lasted a day or so, because my faith in God, knowing that this too shall pass, no matter the great opportunity I had in front of me. It's not over, and that's not the path God wanted for me, and I'm perfectly fine with that now. I feel it's my duty to let everyone know out there, no matter what, if things are going good or not going the way you would want it to, never worry from your faith, but lean and trust into God no matter the situation." With that being said, let's enjoy some great football. Let's go Chiefs. What a proper attitude to take in light of the verses we've been studying. This was a timely example of the correct attitude any Christian should take. In this instance, the eagle is used figuratively to call attention to godly characteristics and outcomes. We are to wait on God's supreme greatness and steadfast love that ministers to us. God is worthy of our faith, hope, and trust to lift and renew us. The lesson: faith in God's promises empowers us for the long haul as we wait to overcome weakness. At this juncture of our study, I want to pause and take a look at where we have been so far and what we hopefully have accomplished. I made this chart of the books where the eagle was found that we've looked at so far, and how many verses were in that book, and then whether they were symbolic or real in each case. In one case, they were both. It's interesting, at least to me, how invariably the positioning of the eagle in these verses has kind of been a marker or a signal to take note of the situation in which it is found, or reflect on things previous or things to come. It reminds me of a small boy I once knew. He had an unfortunate situation, and sadly he was starved for attention. And every time I was around him, he would say over and over, "Look at me, look at me." As he bounded around the room, bouncing off the furniture and fiddling with some toy. The eagle is often drawing attention, saying, "Look at me." And when we do, we learn something important that God has to tell us. I hope you can feel that too and appreciate the lessons, even if they have been old and historical. We don't have to dig too far to find relevancy for today. Our time's about up. We'll pick up next time. Appreciate your attention tonight. And we didn't have any technical difficulties once we got started, and that's a blessing. Any other further comments anybody needs to make, or any other announcements?
Isaiah was speaking to a people that were going to lose their identity. They were going to lose their nation. Now, not all these people were wicked people.
That's true.
During Elijah's time, there were 7,000 who had not bent the knee. And so he's talking to these people who stand to lose everything. And he's talking to people like us, like me.
Exactly.
I am not in the strength of my youth. But in a lot of ways, I'm stronger than I ever was. And I think that's what he's talking about. Yeah. You know, I've done a lot, and so have some of you, Jack, and a lot of us, Paul, and have done more probably now than we did one-on-one with people without the... limit of time or, we don't have to devote ourselves to a living. We've learned when enough is enough and it's time to do other work, which we're more prepared for now than we ever were. You know, a lot of times I don't even have to look at my Bible to tell the truth that's within it. I can talk with people, and if need be, I can find it. I might not be able to name it, but I can find it. This is true stuff.
It is. It really is. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and like an eagle, how graceful and how easy they do take their flight.
They do, yeah. And they're gone. You don't want them to. You want to stand there and watch them more, but I got some else to go.
A couple things I see in that last verse. It says wait. Yeah. And that's patience. And we just, a lot of times, don't have patience. We want to run ahead of God. And as we see in the captivity and many other places, the call is for patience. It's kind of like prayer. How does God answer prayer? Well, it's yes, no, and wait.
Yeah.
The other thing I see there is where our true strength is in God, Jesus Christ, and His Word. Sometimes we think the strength comes from within ourselves, but the true strength comes from the Word of God.
I think it's in our hope, too. That just reinforces us. to continue on, I think.
It's also how we think of ourselves. Do we think of ourselves as eagles? Or do we think ourselves as, I don't know, dodos? You know? Really, I think that's what he's saying. You guys are eagles. If you wait on me, if you trust in me, some words have double meaning. I thought of it as being a waiter. Those who serve God, you know, shall renew their strength. So, and also the patient shall find the right time to take off. I mean, this is all about us, I think, as well as these people.
That's what I said. You know, it's lessons for us today that we can take to heart. That's why God gave them to us in the first place. These aren't idle words. And I know a lot of times you're just reading through, for example, the Old Testament. You just so much words, and you can get lost and not look deeply for the meaning. Well, I thank you all very much. It's been a good class tonight. I appreciate the comments. I don't do as good a job as I should in asking for comments. I'm always afraid that we'll run out of time, which we've had, but nobody, where you gotta go? Gotta go home and go to bed? Well, it's gonna be there whether you go there now or a few minutes later. So, let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for those that were able to come tonight. We do remember those that aren't here, either traveling or of difficulty in their lives. Pray especially tonight for the Normans and what's going on with Jean. I know Jerry visits her 3 times a week. Some days are good and some days are not good. So just bless him and lift him up. Give him courage to continue on. And just bless her that we know that all of us are just waiting for when the Lord comes to take us. And it could happen at any time, whether we're sick or not. So we just continue to be patient and wait on you, Lord, as we've talked about. Go with us now the rest of this week. We look forward to Sunday where we can meet again, praise you in song, remember our Lord Jesus in communion, and we ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.